Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Open Miracles with Vince and Sandy. Today's topic is reinventing your life, and we're going to reinvent our life through our higher self. This is Vince and Sandy from joycelestial.com, Life Open Miracles. First of all, I want to invite you all to go to my website, which is joycelestial.com. Joy like the joy, the inner joy that you may have when you start to be in contact, in touch with God. And celestial, like comes from the heaven.com. Once you're there, please sign up from the Mystical Life Coaching free lesson series. And I promise these lessons are beautiful. In 10 years from now, you will still find them useful if you want to apply those principles and techniques into your daily life to change what it is that is going on. It is in particular in tune with what we're going to talk about today. Today we have a wonderful guest. His name is Nazim Rashid. He's also a jazz musician. I listened to some of his music on his website, and that music is really beautiful, so relaxing, powerful, and deep. I really appreciated listening to that music. I'll probably buy his CD as well. I'm a great fan of jazz players. But today, first of all, Nazim has his own show on Blog Talk Radio as well. It is called Reconnected. So if you go to Blog Talk Radio, .com/reconnected, you will find it there. And he's called Mentor Man, this is his nickname, and he has a book which is called Reconnected as well, how to be a mentor to your child self. So Nazim Rashid has been helping communities, organizations, and individuals regain their sense of power, control, and self-esteem since 1978. It's a long time. I was born in 1977, so he's been doing this for 32 years. His particular interests have covered a wide array of fields. He has served the community as a counselor in the fields of mental health, substance abuse, and the previously incarcerated. He has so people have been in prison. So sorry for my bad pronunciation. As you know, I am not American. So he has served as a trainer, creating a teen educators model, mentoring and training adolescents in the areas of conflict resolution, listening and communication skills. He also worked for drug recovery using the 12-step approach, which is a great step. Nobody knows exactly why it works, but it works. And it just doesn't work for drugs, but it works for any kind, I believe, of addiction that you may have, even mental, okay? So he has been working with lots of people, with lots of organization, with children, autistic children, disturbed adolescents, and he helped them to realize their higher potential. His shows are beautiful. He's a deep individual, and I would like to welcome him today to the show. And I should press this button, I believe. Yes. Am I here?
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hello, Nazim. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully. I feel enlightened right now. Thank you very much for your spirit and your service.
You're welcome. I enjoyed your music so much on your website, because Nazim has a website which is jetsrenaissance.com, right?
Yes. Yes.
Exactly, and because that website is also posted on your Blog Talk Radio page. So I went there and looked, and I saw that you are a jazz musician, you play sax, and that music was really beautiful. So it's a beautiful union of jazz and the spirit that you have also in your radio show and how you help people to reconnect with their higher self. So
yes.
Congratulations for that.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so the topic of today is about reinventing your life, reinventing one's life. But we want to explore that on how to reinvent your life through the higher self, which is that spark of God that we have within us, or that part of our mind, the highest part of mind, that goes beyond thinking and ordinary reasoning or, you know, limited perception of the mind, actually access that, I believe, intuitive power. And I would like to ask you, first of all, let's start like this.
Yes.
how changing one's life with the higher self is different from changing it through reason or through self-analysis?
Mm-mm. Well, first of all, the higher self was not our doing at all. It was not our conscious creation. We had nothing to do with our higher self. Our higher self is where Allah, God resides. You know, God breathes into us the higher self. That is our divine sanctuary there. And it is important for us to understand that in order for us to look at reinventing, I also say recreating or reshaping or remolding ourselves, what we're really doing is realigning ourselves with our higher self. And as we align ourselves, we actually align ourselves with God. And that's a very, very important thing to understand and to distinguish, because that the higher self was not our doing. And we are to be aligned and molded and guided by our higher self, and then we'll realize our full potential.
Right. Do you think then that the higher self is not a part of yourself, which is within you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's a part of it, sure, absolutely. And it reminds you of that saying when people say, to just believe in yourself and you'll be okay. Well, most people don't know what that really means. And what happens is that you have someone who has a negative kind of inclination, and they are, they're a petty thief, and so forth, and they get caught, and they're in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Now they want to come out and do bigger crimes, so they believe in themselves also in order to do a bigger crime. You see, but that's not the self we're talking about. The higher self will never allow that kind of a thought process to happen. The higher self leads us. We don't lead it. Higher self leads us. So that's very important to distinguish there.
Absolutely, because exactly. So this is the difference. Because changing through your own reasoning, it's you leading yourself according to what it is that you can understand about life, or if you can understand about life. When instead, changing your life through alignment with the higher self means starting changing your nature within, so that you naturally go towards where God is leading you.
Exactly. And that's important. Also, see, this is also the self that was with God before this experience and will return back to God after the experience. And so that's why this particular self needs our appreciation. And more we appreciate that self, more we'll be drawn into it, become aligned with it. And that's important also.
Good. So what about all these people that you have helped? Let's talk about people who have a real problem in their life. Okay, so let's say I see this reality every day. What would you advise to people when they are in very difficult environmental conditions? Okay, so it's very hard to get out from there. How can they start to change your life completely? They're going to say, well, I'm not sure what I should do next. I'm not sure what I can do in order to move away from this situation. I'm not sure exactly why I'm here. I would like to move from where I am to this more favorable conditions, right? But the environment around them is really hard for them, and it's very hard to move away from. So what would you have the beginning?
Well, right there you have the first picture, the kind of life you want. And I kind of look at the scenario of someone looking back where they came from or looking toward where they're going. And too many times when you're surrounded by negative experiences, negative conditioning, negative language, and that becomes your total reality, and you can see nothing else. It's kind of like you're drowning in a muddy water. All you see is dirty water around you. That's all you see. That's all you see. And so, but now the higher consciousness within you wants to get out of that. So you're constantly swimming up toward the top. You don't know what's at the top. You're swimming toward the top. But what happens is you're in a get away from mentality, a get away from mentality. And all your, as long as you're in a get away from mentality, that particular mentality will still be ruling you. So I tell people to have a going toward mentality. What are you going toward? So therefore, if they're in a neighborhood or in a kind of negative kind of conditioning, and that's all they know, then I teach people to imagine and dream and ask yourself, what do you really want? What kind of lifestyle do you want? What kind of make do you want? What kind of neighborhood do you want to live in? And start painting the picture of your new life. Really make it really clear. What color, what fabric, what person, what do they look like? What do their eyes look like? Make it real solid clear. And when their new reality is clear and they start putting love into the new reality, then that becomes their new reality. And then what happens, because of the law of attraction, they start gravitating towards that. And they're feeling good, they're feeling warm, and I don't care what anybody says to them about how they're now changing and they're not acting like the rest of us out here, so to speak. You know, now their higher self is calm. They don't care about the criticisms of the criticizers, and they're going toward their dreams and where they want to go.
So this is how they create their new visions. Eventually, they will be able to see what the next step is in order to move towards that direction. And for the law of attraction, the best way to go forward on its own. So, is it the what the next step would be like, or is it the law of attraction that brings them opportunities?
Yes, and I'm sorry, there was a lot of breaking. If you can repeat the last question, please. I hear you now.
Yes. So they create their vision, and they've created their vision. They have to move forward towards that vision. So the law of attraction brings them opportunities. Most important, in your opinion, is it the be able then, because of their vision, to see what the next step is, so move towards the next step? Or is it the law of attraction, or creating the kind of magnetism through their vision, the law of attraction will automatically deliver the next step?
Well, see what happens. It's where they are with their magnetism toward where they're going. If they really believe, then they will know. They will know. Their higher self will draw them into it. And see, it's important that there's two questions that they need to concern themselves with. It's what do they want and why they want it. Not how or when. It's what they want. They have to be very clear as to what they want and why do they want it. And then they can write it down and put energy into that. And if that's real strong and it resonates with their higher self, it's got to resonate. It can't be anything that's harmful to anyone. It's got to be about life, love, and health. And so as long as they're resonating in the area and their reasoning is strong, their objective is strong, what happens is, you know, ideas will come to them. They'll know what the next step is. Ideas will just come to them. You know, they might go to the mailbox and all of a sudden there's a surprise check there, or there's a surprise letter for someone saying that you can come over, a surprise plane ticket in there, or they might go to a store and then, you know, someone, you know, that they don't even know, just gave them a tip as to where they can go next to get a job opening or something like that. And, you know, the universe does that. So that's why, you know, belief in the unseen is very, very important. It's not about what you see. It's about what you don't see. You believe in the unseen. Believe that you are first deserving of your objective. You got to feel, now, see, this goes back to my book when I talk about how we need to have a strong belief, you know, in, first of all, us deserving and desiring. You have to feel good about yourself. You have to have a good image of yourself. You have to look in the mirror and like what you see. See, the more positive energy you put into you all right, the more will come to you. But if you feel you're not deserving because of what you've been told and the conditions you're growing up in, then what happens, you're blocking the energy from coming to you. So you have to have a strong belief that, yes, you deserve it. You love what you see. You love what God has done with you. You know, you believe in your higher potential. You might not see it right now, but that potential's there. It's divine. It's going to manifest. And I want such and such, and this is why I want it, and it belongs to me, and I'm claiming it now. And what you can do is actually start living from the new reality now. And as you live from the new reality now, and what's called subjective attention, then what happens, it comes to you faster. And that's what we have to hold on to right there. And it's hard for a lot of people, but you can do it. And that's what I tell people.
That's wonderful. How can one start improving his own self-image? We
and,
have many people around. Yes, I think this is a good question. It seems like it's a very good point of start for people who want to start changing their life. How can start to have a self-image on themselves and include, let's say, the higher point of view of the higher self in this self-image? What is the practice that you would advise, a practical step or the main advice that you feel to give, let's say?
Or in a higher self-image. And, you know, as an aside, it must be either my phone. I have got a good reception on my phone, but there was a lot of breaking up there. And so the question was how, it was regarding self-image. I heard that part. If you can repeat that, please.
Oh, yes, no problem. I know sometimes some problems with the connections, also with the last guest, not sure why. Anyway, the fact is, working on your self-image to be a very good also step, because if you want to create that inner vision within you, so you go in front, I don't know, maybe in front of a mirror, within you, and on the mirror of your own image within you. What is your suggestion to work on self-image, but including yourself within, in order to start changing, in order to reinvent life? So, what would you suggest to start working on their self-image so they can have a positive self-image of themselves?
Okay, I think I hear it now. Self-image, yes. Okay, now, they have to actually see themselves in their new position, in their new life. They have to see themselves, because self-image is all about painting themselves and living from the new reality. And as an example, I can give you this here. Now, if they really believe that, so let's say, have an example of a job, for instance, all right? Now, the job they're currently working in is a job of a janitor, and they've been working as a janitor for 20 years, let's say. They're a good janitor. Everybody loves them as a janitor. And they've been happy as a janitor. That is their self-image, is a good janitor. Now, they would like to be, a school teacher. Say, for instance, they're a janitor at a school. Now they want to be a school teacher. And they're seeing how school teachers are dressing better, and they're living better and making more money. So they want to be a school teacher. And they're good with kids. They have an inclination to be a good school teacher. Okay. And so what happens is that the principal decides to let them be a tutor, let them be a little tutor for kids a little bit. And they love it. It's okay. We can do this. And so they take on the job as a tutor. All right. And they love kids. They love tutoring. However, they don't have the real necessary requirements for a tutor at all. Even though they love being around kids and love teaching, they don't have the necessary skills and so forth. And so what happens is that they start thinking more about the janitor work as they're working as a tutor. And they're thinking about cleaning and doing the things that janitors do. And what happens is that they actually sabotage their job as a tutor. Why? Because the self-image is not matching. You have to have a match.
Right.
You cannot go higher nor lower than your self-image. Their self-image was a good janitor. They tried to rise above that because they wanted to do something else. What happens? No. They're brought back down to the self-image where they were. They didn't really see themselves as a solid teacher. They just wanted it. So, to answer your question, folks, they have to actually see themselves as a productive person in the new self-image that they want. If they want to be a school teacher,
right,
they got to see themselves doing it. That means they got to have the schooling, the education, the background. They got to see themselves there. They got to be okay there. They got to feel it resonates with their higher self. It has to resonate there. If it doesn't resonate there, they're not going to be there. Then, now, if they want to have it, they can study and they can learn and they can improve and raise their self-image. They can do that. But they have to realize where it is now. Now, if they want to change it, they have work to do in order to change it. But they have to realize where it is now and where they want to go, and then they can change it through some efforts on their part. But it's very important to recognize where they are.
How do they know that they're connecting with their higher self when trying to work on their self-image? Okay, let's say they're visualizing themselves being active and doing, and they try to think the highest thought possible or whatever is different from their reality that they want to change. But how do they know that they are actually connecting with the higher self, with a higher purpose, with the higher part of themselves, which is in tune with God's will, let's say?
Well, first of all, keep in mind the qualifications. You know, it has to be, first of all, life-producing, health-promoting. Okay, so it's got to be in those categories, first of all. All right, now, if that's taken care of, all right, they'll know, because what happens, they'll get a warm, resonating feeling about it. They'll
right.
get a warm, resonating feeling. So, oh, this is it for sure. This is it. Because, you know, there's one thing. Your divine purpose is not frustrating. Your divine purpose is
not constricting. Yeah.
It's not irritating. Mm-hmm. It's not stressful. Okay? So
right.
if people are feeling stressed or frustrated by the process, that is not resonating with their higher spirit. No.
Right.
God wants you to have ease. And it's kind of like going downstream instead of going upstream. Ease. So if your higher spirit is in working with children, when you're around them, you feel warm. You feel connected. You feel that God is directing your words and God is helping those kids through you. Because what happens is that if you're connected with your higher spirit, you feel you're a conduit. You're just a medium in through which God is working, you know, to help people.
Absolutely.
So you're just a tool that God is using, you know, for his higher purpose. And that's when you know.
Yes, I perfectly agree with that. Because, in fact, there are only, let's say, two directions. One is towards the light, which is ever-expansive, filled with love, beautiful. I mean, that way is getting closer to God. The other way is getting away from it, where the light is not really visible because the veil between you and God, it gets thicker, it's constricted, and you feel like there's so much to do and overwhelmed. Yeah, so no, I perfectly agree with this concept. So would you also advise, for example, let's talk a little bit more about this, a positive self-image that is beautiful and warm. So practically, would you advise them, you said mirror work, so what is it? They go in front of a mirror and they start appreciating themselves as just as they are, and then how do they do self-image work practically? Do they sit and meditate on it, or it is just something that they have to have throughout the day with them as they go through the day? Yeah.
Everything you mentioned is positive and affirmative. Sure, all those things are necessary. Now, first of all, we have to learn how to love ourselves, and a lot of people have a hard time with that. So if you stand in front of the mirror and have your arms, you know, outstretched wide, you know, and just right. basically I love you, you know, and I'm open to receive any good that you have for me. And look into those eyes of yours and really feel that connection. And now, if there is resistance at that level, okay, then there's can't go any further. We have to stop right there and get that connection. So we have to kind of just stay there and look at ourselves for a while, look at those eyes for a while. Because, see, what happens is that when you start seeing good in your eyes, you're seeing God. You know, God is speaking through the eyes, through you. So it's all about appreciation for what God has given you, and it's right through your eyes there. So that's why it's important to look, enjoy, and appreciate. And the more you appreciate, the more you're given to appreciate. And then after a while, you're loving everything about you. And you know, people might say, well, I'm too skinny. I'm too fat. I have this wrinkle. I got this wart. No. It's not about any of those things. Those are the surface matters. Those things will go away. We're talking about trying to appreciate that higher self. So once you go inside and love that which is within, what happens, then it radiates without. Then you'll love the outer self. It's not outer self first. Then, you know, if you had that ideology, of course you would be disappointed and frustrated every step of the way, because there's always kind of faults we have on the exterior. So we have to go on the interior first. Love that. And once you love that, then you'll love everything else about you. You start there. And then once you have that in order, okay, then you can start radiating the love without with everybody. Then you start loving everything. You love the shower head, the sink. You love the faucet. You love the rug. You love the walls. You love the construction. You love the house you're in. You love the warmth. You love the clean flowing water. And you start finding more and more and more things to love and appreciate. And that's how it starts. Then you start radiating with love and warmth with everything. And when you go outside, you find everything out there that you love. So it starts there. And God will show you more things to love. And all this improves your self-image, improves your self-esteem, improves your self-worth, your self-value. And then you start finding out that you're attracted to those things that are good and wonderful, and those things that aren't don't come around you anymore. See, people have they attract negativity because they have it within. When you start having love around you, those other things, they don't come around. They don't bother you. You know, people who are rude on highways or rude in public, they find other people to be rude. They aren't even around you anymore. You see, and that's how it happens.
Exactly. Also, because you don't attract them, because you always gravitate, let's say, towards something that is more familiar to you. So if you manage love for yourself and love for things more familiar than the negative part, then obviously you will navigate towards the more familiar, which will be the point. Love, appreciation, and acceptance, and embracing more.
Absolutely.
Yes. I would like to know, Rashid, then we start with this, let's create a small process so that basically we can go through, okay? So if we want to start from the beginning, we start with this mirror work, let's say, which is a good start, and if we find resistance, we get more into the eyes and we start feeling that warmth coming, maybe not the first day or maybe the first day after half an hour or maybe in a week, doesn't matter. Would it also help to consider all the negative thoughts and the resistance that come up, just as our own ideas that are impermanent, that come and go, and we don't really have to rely on them because they are impermanent, so we just treat them as points of view and not the eternal that is ourselves. So to realize that those ideas, the way you said, are not eternal, they don't really belong to us.
Well, see, right there you hit it. They don't belong to you, so therefore don't claim them at all.
Yes.
Don't claim them at all.
Exactly.
When something happens, we have a negative thought, don't claim those at all, you know. Matter of fact, you can say, get out. You don't belong here. You don't get out. No, you don't get out. You don't belong here. And then immediately, you know, replace the bad thought with the good thought. immediately, you know, always. Because you know, sometimes unconsciously we'll stray. We all do that. But you'll know because, you know, your heart rate will change. You know, your energy will change. Your thoughts start to change, you know. And so as soon as you recognize that kind of change, immediately say, whoa, stop it. And start consciously thinking good thoughts. Because they say that, you know, according to what I've heard, we have like 600,000 thoughts a day. Now, I don't know who came up with that kind of statistic, but the idea that if you have all these thousands of thoughts a day, which one of those thoughts are your conscious thoughts? And that's what I'm saying. See, we have to consciously put the right thought seed in there in order to get the right fruit later on. We have to consciously do that. So we have to all the time, you know, appreciate what's around. Put love out there. And thank you for every little thing. Consciously do that. And this is how we start reforming the subconscious thoughts. Because the more you put into the conscious, then what happens, the more you actually plant into the subconscious. And it is in the subconscious area that actually controls our behaviors. Not the conscious, the subconscious behavior. So that's what we do. We plant those thought seeds. And we keep planting them, keep planting them. And as we do, then what happens, we start getting past the conscious to the subconscious, and then we start having a new life that now we're being directed by that which is good instead of that which is not.
Right, right. And what is the... I'm curious to know about one thing. What is the main problems, let's say, because you've been working with so many people and helping them and reconnecting with their higher potential. What do you think, what is the main problem you have seen in these people, basically? What is the main, they are undeserving, but what is the main problem that people talk about when they come to you and a problem solved, basically? What is the main thing? Or what are the main problems people talk about, yes?
Well, you know, the problems are so varied. It all depends on the reason they're coming. I mean, I work with a lot of the addiction.
But the areas of life, let's say.
I'm sorry, say it again?
No, the areas of life. The areas of life that people have problems with that you have seen. What is the real... Everything might be not, you know what I mean? Of course, everybody's different and have every, you know, have different views. What is the most recurring problem that you deal with, let's say, with all these people?
Well, you know, I think the most common one, there's so many, the most common are they're living a life of past conditioning, and the past conditioning is not serving their higher self. That's the common thread, whether it's addictions or other kind of violent behaviors. It's living a life of past conditioning. And that's really the whole purpose of my book, is to undo all that by replacing all the past conditioning with that which is good. And so this is what happens. You know, this affects marriages. This affects jobs, your careers, or relationships. And it affects how you are with yourself. And so if you're living life with these negative past conditioning, you know, and you become more and more bitter as you get older, and it's worse to handle it, because it's there. It gets worse as you get older. It magnifies. This is why you have people who are, you know, in their, you know, late 70s and 80s, who are just so bitter and angry, and even their own family just rejects them because they want to just chop everybody's head off. You see, they have unresolved issues from their past, and they have those old past conditioning, those old voices that tell them that they are no good, or people are rotten, or they've been hurt, and so they feel that they need to hurt somebody else. So to answer your question, I would say it's the result of living a negative past conditioning, and so that's my objective, is to help them to undo those things, you know, now, so they can live a better life. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and say people in their 80s, like more than 80 years old, let's say, how do you help them change, let's say, of course you need their will to change, right?
Sure.
Do you think, yes, How do you get these changed people who have so much been eradicated? Do you think you go through all those beliefs, basically, because there are many, or is it the power of God that one gets in and then frees them?
Well, you know, at a certain point, only God can help them directly, you know, because they won't listen. And but what happens is that if they have any spark of interest in change, all right, that little spark can be developed. You know, that little interest can be developed. And so they're willing to listen. A lot of them don't want to hear anything, you know, because if I come and I am 30 years younger than they are, then look at me as saying, well, you know, what do you know? You're too young. You don't know anything. So there are so many biases and so forth that developed, you know, and if I'm a male, they're a female, you know, they'll say, well, you know, you men don't know anything. So it's very difficult. But if they like you at all, now this is where it comes in. If they have any kind of interest in you, like you, like, you know, they might say, well, you're a fine, upstanding man, or you're a nice guy, you're a nice girl, whatever. If they like you on any level, then that means they're open to hear what you have to say. And so then you have to be really soft and gentle and really talk about, you know, God's love, you know, how, you know, they're appreciated, how I appreciate it. Say, I might say, you know, I really love how you do such and such. I love how you do such and such. That is wonderful. How do you do that? Show me how you do those kind of things. And then they open up to you more so. Open up to you. And then he starts saying, well, how did you grow up? Because, see, that's where it starts. How did you grow up? How were your parents? How was your father? What was your relationship with your mother? And how were those things? You know, and then you start finding out how they were taught and trained as a child themselves. And then you start seeing where the problems are, you know. Then you start seeing it.
Exactly.
And, and so then you work on it right then and there, you see. Say, for instance, if a person wanted to be, they always wanted to be a model. Say, when you got an older woman, and she always wanted to be a model. She wanted to be into the fashion industry. She likes to sew. She always wanted to do it. But she was told that you're a woman, and your job is to be obedient to your husband and do what he says and forget about your dreams, you know. And her father and mother might have told her that, those things, you know. So she buries him. And so that produced some bitterness within her. But if I tell her, this is, you know, I would love to see some of your work. I would love to see some of your original, drawings and so forth, and some of your clothes that you've made. I would love to see some of these things. This is beautiful. This is good. I would love to see you sew some more. And eventually you might say, oh, well, okay, I can sew a little bit here and there. Get them to do those things that they've always wanted to do. And they start feeling better about those things. And say, oh, well, maybe I can do this. And when they get encouragement from you and get others to encourage them also, then that little spark of life starts growing and growing within them. And they start smiling a little more. They start walking a little better. They start looking at the mirror and smiling more, putting some music on, dancing, and having more life to them. And that's how we do it. We got to find a little spark somewhere, a little germ of life somewhere within them, and magnify that. And that's how we do that.
Yeah, that sounds good. So you wrote this book, Reconnected, the DMS, which I saw. And please tell me a little bit about this book. What are the main principles you wrote through this book? And in general, whatever you would like to say about this book, that I think is a good book, because I had the chance to listen to some of your video shows, and I saw the table of contents of the book, and it seems very beautiful. And given your experience, I think it's a deep experience to go through this book. So just say what you want to say about the book.
Well, one thing is very important. What I do is that there are a lot of objectives to my book there, and a lot of different people can benefit from it. And so teachers can benefit from it. They can learn tools to increase the positive energy in the classrooms. and mentors. We have programs and use it for helping them with their training programs with their youth. And
so you suggest methods in it on how to achieve different results.
Mm-hmm. You can do all
just methods inside the book.
And
do you suggest method? Do you suggest methods inside the book that help people to achieve specific results today?
Yes, it's all there. Yeah, they can do. Yes, the book will help them achieve any results. Really personal results that they want. Now the big distinguishing part of my book, what sets my book apart from all others, I feel, is at the end where I teach people how to create a virtual experience of their childhood, so they can actually redo what happened to them in their own imagination. And so what happens, they can change the feeling, because that's what we have to do. We have to change the feelings they had. If it's, say, for instance, if a person is mad because the father abused them as an 8-year-old, and they held that and then became real bitter, they can go back in their mind and recreate the whole scenario. And so when I look at my subtitle as how to be a mentor to a child self, I teach them how they can go back in time and be like a next-door neighbor, like a godparent, a next-door neighbor, and they can actually be a mentor to their child self. They can counsel the child self and help the child self and redo the scenarios. You know, and for instance, yeah, a real good example is that, say, for instance, at 8 years old, you know, say you're going next door and talk to, say, for instance, if your name is, John Wilson, okay, now your child is John also, all right? And so now your child comes over next door and says, "Hi, Mr. Wilson. Hey, tell you what, I have a real problem. You know, my father really, cursed me out and kind of, you know, knocked me down here and caused me to cry. And, and no one listened to me and so forth. And I'm feeling real bad about that." So then what you do, Mr. Wilson, you say, "Oh, you know what, you don't deserve that. You are a child of God here, and I'm going to make sure that your life is wonderful and fine. I'm going to talk to your father myself, and I'm going to make sure he knows that my godchild will be treated in a wonderful way, okay? And he's going to apologize to you. I'll make sure of that, because he loves you and I love you, and he just doesn't know how to express his love towards you. So I'm going to talk to him myself, okay?" Now, it's kind of like a play you're writing. Now, the next scene is you, Mr. Wilson, talking to your child's self-father, which is really your father, okay? And so now you're saying, "Now look here, okay, all right, I heard that you spoke badly about little John here, and we're not going to have that. He felt bad about that, and he doesn't think you love him anymore, and we're not going to have that." Now your father says, "Oh, I didn't know. I mean, I was just, I just lost myself. I didn't know that I was that harsh toward him. I got mad at him because he didn't pick his clothes up from the floor, and I hit him and talked bad to him, and I didn't realize that. I'm so sorry. I'm going to apologize to him. I didn't mean to do that, okay?" All right, and then you say, "Well, now you do that as soon as you can, right? Because his feelings are important. I'm going to make sure that he is protected and loved throughout his life. I want you to apologize to him." "Okay, I will do that." Here's the third scene. Now the father is talking to little John. "Little John, I am so sorry I did that to you, I didn't know, I just lost it right there. Adults lose it sometimes, but I want you to always know that I love you, I've always loved you, and I'll take care of you, and that won't happen again. I'm so sorry, but please accept my apology." And so little John says, "Oh, okay, Daddy, okay, all right, I feel better now, okay, all right." Now here's the last scene. Now little John comes next door. "Mr. Wilson, guess what? You're right, my father did apologize to me. And he said he loves me, he gave me a big hug. And he said he's going to take me out for ice cream later on. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson, for doing that for me. Thank you very much. I love you too." And you both hug. That ends the scene. See how we do it?
That's wonderful. It is an amazing process. Very, very great process. You're reversing whatever it is that happened in the past. And it's all in our mind anyway, because it's not there anymore. It's nothing, nobody hunting you, but we all work with the shadows and light within ourselves. It's an amazing process. Well, very good, very good. I love this. So you've been practicing this. You've been practicing this process with all these people that you have helped as well. When and how did you discover this process? Basically,
well, I think
you discovered it through the experience.
This process really kind of I've been counseling for a long time, for over 20 plus years. But this process was actually a God-given process, because I was inspired by the DVD and book called The Secret. The Secret, which is based on the law of attraction. I'm sure that you're familiar with that. And The Secret. And so when I started listening to The Secret, it says, you know, we can do anything in our mind that we want to do. We can go anywhere in our mind. We can do anything in our mind that we want to do. We can be anything. We can have anything if we know how to go far enough in our mind to get it. We can do that. And so I'm listening to that idea. And also, I'm a student of Dr. Nathaniel Brandon. Dr. Brandon, he was really a foremost authority on self-esteem. He has a book called The Psychology of High Self-Esteem. And he talks about reparenting, how we can actually reparent ourselves. And by looking, you know, first start by going and getting some young pictures of yourself and putting love into those eyes, little eyes, and imagine yourself hugging yourself. And do a lot of reparenting things. In other words, you know, you be the parent that you never had. You be the parent that you never had. And so since I came through his studies, and listened to The Secret, how we can actually go back and do anything you want to do, I put those kind of two ideas together. And so God just revealed it to me, saying, okay, here's what you can do. You can do it this way. You know, so
you can take it a step farther. Yeah, he showed you how to take it a step further, let's say.
Exactly. Exactly. So I would say it's really a divine kind of a thing that happened to me, that I was looking at the whole thing. Actually, I was in the shower one day, and I said, oh, you know what? Instead of looking at reparenting, because then you're still looking at confrontational things, I said, how about going through a third party, a mentor? That way, it's no confrontational. It's no negative. No reliving anything, really. Everything is going through the story and narration of the mentor. I said,
okay, well, now let me ask you this question. Then it just came up. Let's say the father is a very violent person. Okay, so the little boy goes to the mentor and says, "Look, my father hit me, and now I'm crying." Whatever. Then the mentor goes there. Do you think the father could have a very bad reaction towards the mentor as well?
No, because what happens is when you set it up, you see the mentor, no. You know, when you set it up, the mentor is first older. Like, say, for instance, you know, I'm 57, and at the time when I was 8, my father was only 30, okay?
Right.
So now I'm going back there. The 59-year-old mentor and my father's 30 years old. All right. Now what you set up is that I am looked upon as the senior in the community, and so when the family moved in, I was already there, and so they saw me as an authority figure, and I had a lot of counseling background, so they saw me as an authority figure. And that's why they wanted me to be a godfather for the children, you see? And so by me being a godfather to the children, they already respected me and loved me and followed my advice. So that was already there. So anytime I would say something, they listened, you see?
Right. So you make the mentor an authority figure, exactly. Even
so
for the father.
So talking to the father, he already knows that I love the child as he does, and he's not gonna have a problem with it. Remember, you're writing the script.
yes, exactly. Let me ask you this question then, because now this seems to be the topic of nowadays anyway, and it has to do with the law of attraction. Does this process help with the law of attraction? Can it be used to as a process to attract something? As in the law of attraction, let's say. Have you ever tried that? I know that your purpose is about healing and and reconnecting with your higher self and et cetera, et cetera. But because your background is also coming from that, did you use it for that too, or you think there are other methods that are more appropriate for attracting instead of this one?
Well, sure, of course, absolutely, because we're all ruled by our most dominant thought. That's fact. We're ruled by our most dominant thought. And so if you're thinking prosperity, if you're thinking wonderful relationships, if you're thinking a better neighborhood, then you're going to attract those things. You're ruled by that. That means those thought processes are leading you in those directions. And as those thought processes are leading you there, what happens? The law of attraction will just attract to you the ways and means to make that a reality for you. That's important.
Right. But would you use something like also a third figure or something, like the similar process that you've been using for healing the relationship with the parents, for example? Or you would just use other kinds of imagery or visualizations?
Well, in that case, I would, because see, we have so much potential within, so much within. We go within, and of course, there are angels around us constantly, helping and guiding and so forth. And so therefore, in our mind, we can take any avenue we want to take. We can say, well, tell you what, I'm going to personify my higher self into an angel. I'm going to just do that.
But then you should repeat the last sentence. I think repeat the last sentence you were saying. Yes, just went off for a moment.
Yes. We can personify our higher self into an angel. We can do that. We can say, okay, higher self, I'm going to call you Michael. All right? And so I want you to help me in this area. And we can do that and so forth. So Michael will take over and say, okay, yes. Here's a turn left, turn right, think this, don't think that. Talk to that person over there. So we can actually be led that way too. That can happen also. So we can use it, mm-hmm. that method there too. We can do that. Sure. As long as your thoughts are about life producing and health promoting, and all about well-being, you have to qualify now. So as long as it's about promoting life, yes, you can use a third-party process for that too.
That sounds great. So, with this book Reconnected, you have your radio show on it. How can people get this book right now?
All right, now right now, I'm glad you mentioned that, because right now I'm with the publisher called Inkwell Productions. It's Inkwell Productions. That's the publisher, and they have a
ink,
high reputation.
Ink like ink of the pen, right?
Yes, Inkwell. And you can look them online there. And now they have a high reputation for putting out excellent books. And so even though I finished writing the book a little over a year ago, they have a real stringent process to make sure it's good. So they have it's going to a lot of editing and proofreading, and it's in that stage now again. I'm told that within the next 60 days, then they should be finished with the process, because it goes through a rigorous, rigorous process to make sure it's okay. So in the meantime, I have developed a big waiting list and people who have shown interest, and they can do that by going to my email, which is nrbookclub@cox.net. That's nrbookclub@cox.net. See, and so when they go there, I actually put them on my email database, and they actually will receive even book excerpts from me, which I send out sometimes weekly, and I can keep in touch with them, even answer questions for them, be like a little blog source. And of course, when the book signing date comes out, they'll know about that also. And then the book will be available through Amazon, Borders, it's mainstream, so they'll be able to get it at any of those levels, and they can also do a pre-book order, and then that way they'll get a specially signed book, and it'll be numbered by the publisher, which would be a collector's item, so they can do it also. But it's
okay, so it's like a limited edition or something, or a special edition when it's numbered.
Exactly, they can do that.
Good.
But they got to do it now. So first, they email me at the nrbookclub@cox.net, and then I can help them with the process from that point.
Okay, nrbookclub@cox.net,
yeah.
Right?
Cox,
yes, okay.
D-O-X.
That's good. And D-O-X. They can always listen to your show anyway. What is it that you're saying?
Yes, and it's, you didn't make sure it's Cox, COX.net, yes. And
COX.net.
Yes.
Yeah, Cox.net.
And the show is because blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Reconnected. And so they can hear the show anytime. All the shows, like your shows, are all recorded. They can hear any and past shows that way, and they can call in, and they can leave messages in the comment section there too, so they can connect with me there also. So that's how it's done right now, is I'm just collecting names, and a lot of people have actually purchased pre-book orders. They've done that. I've got my list here, and that's $20, and it's $20.95 through PayPal. But if they want to do it, they can do it also, and then they'll get the specialty book, and then plus, the price is guaranteed, because I don't know exactly what the price is going to be. It might be $22.95, it might be $23, I don't know. It's somewhere around there. But the publisher assured me that those who do pre-book orders for $20.95, then they'll have that for sure. So that's another way, you know. But you don't have to do that, but you can do that to get a special collection book if they choose to do that.
That sounds really good. So I really love the process. I really love talking to you, and I really love your music. So listen to all the listeners, please go to blogtalkradio.com/forwardreconnected and write to get the book to Nazim. It's nrbookclub@cox.net. And get this book so you can learn about this process. It seems like to be a very valuable process. So thank you so much for coming, Nazim. And I really appreciated that. Now we are getting now to the end of the show. I will guide people through a short meditation. Thank you so much, and I hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you very much. And Blabla, I meditate every day. I practice yoga every day. It's a wonderful process.
Yes, it is. It is. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your system. I'm going to use it with my clients as well sometimes, because I will give you credit for that. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye. So welcome back. This is Vincent Sandy. We had a beautiful radio show. I would like to invite you to close your eyes for a moment. Breathe in deeply, tense all your muscles, and then breathe out, relaxing, especially focusing on the moment of relaxation. And as you do so, gently relax your eyes up, looking far away at a distance, maybe at the top of a mountain, and this will help you to get in tune with your superconscious level, with the higher self. And as you do so, your awareness is centered at the point between the eyebrows. At this point, say, God, thank you for everything that I have received. And you will notice the thoughts are not there, but you don't have to worry, they'll come back. But at this moment, it is just funny. Breathe in and rest at the point between the eyebrows, looking up, and have the sense, that feeling, that language of the soul that is not made of words, that is not made of emotions, is made of pure feeling. And at that point you speak with that language, thank you, and listen to the answer that comes through you as feeling, not through emotions, not through words. And then again, breathe in, rise up to the point between the eyebrows, and say, guide me. And then, on the next in-breath, draw that back to you. Thank you so much for listening. This is Vincent Sandy. Visit my website, www.joycelestial.com. Sign up for the Mystical Life Coaching Lessons. Wish you all the best, and I'll be here next week. Thank you. Good night, or good day, wherever you are in the world.